What is the most important e-discovery issue today?
Cost control?
Technology-assisted review?
Information management?
Preservation?
From the latest cases to the newest technologies.
Our goal is to expose legal professionals to the most important e-discovery trends
with the brightest e-discovery experts.
Rulemaking,
predictive coding,
litigation hold,
proportionality,
document review,
social media,
efficiency,
ethics,
cooperation.
Welcome to the ESI Report, sponsored by Kroll On Track, an e-discovery software and service provider. You are listening to the Legal Talk Network.
Hi, I'm Michelle Lang, and welcome to the ESI Report. There are a few things this time of year that remind us of spring approaching. One that everyone can relate to is daylight savings time as we spring forward for more daylight. But for those of us in the e-discovery industry, this time of year is also marked by all of the trade shows and conferences that are springing up. Have you been to any e-discovery events recently? What are some of the e-discovery themes you have been noticing at these various conferences, CLEs, and trade shows? Joining me today for our discussion are Eric Robinson and James Shear, two experts in the field of e-discovery. Eric Robinson is a solution architect for Kroll On Track. He has more than 20 years of experience in litigation, legal consulting, and project management. He regularly advises clients on e-discovery matters in corporate audits, investigations, formal litigation, and regulatory matters. He is an expert in large, complex, multi-party e-discovery projects and is a frequent speaker on e-discovery and legal technology. James Shear is counsel at Baker Hostetler in New York City. He is a litigator with a focus on e-discovery, data privacy, data security, and information governance matters. With an eye on new technologies, he stays abreast of the changing industry and how it can affect his clients' businesses and his own practice of law. James is the co-chair of Baker Hostetler's information governance team. Eric and James, thank you so much for joining me today on the ESI Report.
Michelle, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so happy to be here, Michelle.
So let's get us started, James. You are involved with February's JOLT Symposium at the University of Richmond, which focused on mobile devices and the wireless world. At least one panel, one aspect of that conference focused on that. Could you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the JOLT conference and some of the general themes?
So we've been involved with JOLT for a little while. We'd worked on some scholarship for them on merger and acquisition due diligence, which implicated, among other things, e-discovery considerations when you're involved with an M&A deal and due diligence and these real big sets of data. So it wasn't just e-discovery, but also big data, information governance, data privacy, and data security. We started speaking with JOLT about that. They said, okay, well, we've got this symposium coming up, and here we really are focused on a lot of the mobile technologies that are being involved with this type of practice. And we can see some application here, but what we're really looking for is a number of different facets on bring your own device and the world at large. We took this as an opportunity to start doing some investigation about bring your own device considerations that you might have if you're a multinational or if you've got employees that cross borders, and then some of the e-discovery implications associated with that. How do you collect from those devices? How do you give good advice? How can you give consistent advice if you've got employees doing what they want to do that's going to support their business, but without doing it in a consistent manner? And that was the genesis of our panel and our presentation.
So, Eric, perhaps you could give a little bit of advice in talking with clients about what they're seeing when it comes to mobile and social e-discovery best practices.
Well, sure. So this is, as I think we've all experienced, is an evolving area. It is, given the proliferation of mobile devices in the workplace, it is still surprising sometimes to walk into a situation and have people not really still thinking about that they've got to be aware of these other sources of data and that they do have under the current rules and, you know, under the pending rules as well, an obligation to preserve data in a way that if they do need to go after it, that it is usable. So it's been an interesting discussion, and I think, you know, companies are becoming more aware, and some of the e-discovery conversations are actually growing out of policies around bring your own device and things of that nature, which complicate things too, because that raises the bar on privacy when you're intermingling your private information with your business information. So it is an interesting conversation. I think that's one that, you know, that is going to continue to evolve as companies vacillate between these bring your own device policies and issuing devices to their employees. And the same is true for the social media elements. You know, a lot of times the social media sites that companies are using are, I don't want to use the term neglected, but you know, they're temporarily forgotten when it comes to the exercises in discovery and preservation. So it is those areas where there's been a lot of discussion about, but we're still seeing a fair amount of a learning curve on how to approach those types of data sources, you know, when it's involved in litigation and investigatory matters.
So building upon that, JOLTS, the Journal of Legal Law Technology from the University of Richmond, that isn't just the only speaking event, James, that you've done recently this spring already. Talk to me a little bit about Legal Tech New York, which is really the Super Bowl of the e-discovery world in the terms of conferences and trade shows. You spoke on a Legal Tech New York panel, and what did you talk about, and what were some of the key themes that emerged that you saw?
So our panel was on artificial intelligence and its application in current and future practices. And not just in e-discovery, but really in the practice of law generally. When we were looking at this topic and when we were talking about the actual practice and how things are changing, and specifically in the e-discovery world, we talked about technologies and how your interaction with data and your interaction with devices is just changing. So JOLTS touches on this, a lot of legal tech touched on it, and a number of other conferences, including Sedona and Georgetown, are really focusing on this now, which is we're trailing users. We're trying to follow what users are doing with the technologies, and then in some instances rushing to keep up and catch up. So we see different uses of mobile devices and how different your use of a mobile device is based on whether or not you have connectivity. In the past, you think of your computer as the discrete device sitting there on your desktop, maybe a laptop, and that carried with it a history of your interactions with your data. And, you know, it was a repository of your data, except for things that might be server-side. Now, with kind of a renewed interest in thin clients, so you've got information stored up in the cloud or in that enterprise environment. You've got phones that really are just these conduits of information if you're interacting with services up in the cloud or on the internet. You've got different types of social media interactions, the names of which when we were working on some of our paper and our work, you know, I didn't know. I was learning as I went, and I was wary and didn't go ahead and try a lot of the technologies for fear of what would happen. But you see, users use different technologies, different platforms, different types of software for different purposes, and trying to knit that back together into some kind of narrative for a case or showing how you've got defensible e-discovery collection and preservation processes is just an evolving challenge. And it remains one. And we looked at it and said, okay, well, in the first instance, we really have to go back to the first instance here and say, what does the user do? We have to ask the user. It's a real difficulty in trying to apply a one-size-fits-all process or standard or even questions to users without getting into the meat and the heart of what they really do with their devices, both for work and personal instances, and then how that information is kept, if it's saved, if it's changed or transmogrified, whatever happens to it, we have to be part of that discussion and then do some of our own due diligence. Secondarily, we really looked at how then can we look at the forefront of some of these practices? How can we look at artificial intelligence and some of the work that's being done in other places within advancing technology and say, okay, well, how is this going to impact our practice of law? How is this going to impact our fact development? How can it help us when we try to develop a case and get to the point in the heart of this practice, which isn't just to undertake e-discovery measures, but it's to win a case? We pulled together a number of different advances within the technology, and my personal favorite in the presentation was something called the A-star algorithm, which is really a pathfinding algorithm. When you look and say, as opposed to how the crow flies, we know we want to get from point A to point B, which can either be a literal point A to point B in the case of GPS and, you know, your car systems, or the idea of making it from point A, which is your supposition, to point B, any kind of conclusion in making your case. So we examined that, we presented to our panel, and then presented subsequently to the audience. After the fact, I met up with some people who had been active participants during the panel in the audience. And they said, hey, you know, one said, ASTAR was great. We really liked that you mentioned that. And the other said, well, I don't know. I don't know if ASTAR was really an artificial intelligence application. And the first one said, no, no, it really was. And I stepped back and I was excited to have created some dialogue, even though I quickly lost track of the conversation when they went into some really esoteric things.
Sounds like it was interesting dialogue that came out of, you know, a very interesting panel that you were able to participate on. Eric, you also attended Legal Tech New York this year. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about some of the prominent themes that you saw emerge from the trade show, stepping back, and what were service providers, attendees, lawyers, litigation support, paralegals, technology folks talking about at a macro level?
Well, at a macro level, I think information governance was in the forefront of conversation. But when we're talking specifically about e-discovery, I think predictive coding is another area. And we're talking about when you started talking about different types of technologies and things like that. And I think this all plays into it about where the industry is going and how technology is evolving. But looking at it at a macro level, it's really about how current processes can be maximized and efficiencies can be gained. And I think that was true whether the conversation was with individuals coming from the law firm environment or individuals coming from the corporate legal or risk management and compliance environments, is that this continued push towards efficiencies of process and best practices was a common theme among the conversations that I was taking part in, as well as that I was overhearing and things that I was seeing at the show itself.
So, James, did you also notice a significant information governance theme, and perhaps even broadening that a little bit more to data privacy and data breach at Legal Tech New York? And what were some of your observations?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to attend some of those panels and speak with some of the practitioners. What stood out to me as being a central theme was this difference between the save everything mentality, where you assume that because storage is cheap and because it's easier just to let things be saved now, as opposed to actively managing it, that maybe that's the default and maybe that's the inevitable course of progress. Now, contrary to that, you know, those of us that are still working and trying to help clients with information governance policies and strategies to deal with this information, you know, we look at that and say, yeah, that's the easier and it can be the default, but it carries with it some true risk. And we saw some of that come home to roost this past fall. So some of the Digger data breach cases that made the news, you've got instances within those of different things happening on the employee-by-employee levels. It's not just a matter of enterprise considerations when it came to storage or how you kept things, but individual who saved things, who may have taken information or decades of email in some instances from one organization to another. And when you do that, and then if that information subsequently breached, you know, these are these hypotheticals you look at and say, can these things really happen? What do you do if they do happen? Wouldn't practices be better in the first instance to deal with that, as opposed to just letting everything ride and pretending like open kimono is going to be the best way to go?
Eric, perhaps you could wrap it up for us with general perceptions. We're sitting here in the early spring of 2015, and as you look ahead for the next 3, 6, 9 months as we wrap up 2015, 9 months from now, what do you think will be the significant themes and trends that are continued to be discussed at upcoming conferences, trade shows, and the like that are ahead throughout the spring and the rest of the summer?
Yeah, I think as we look forward through 2015, you know, we're looking at potentially some changes in approaches to preservation and things like that with the implementation of the new amended rules that will go effect at the end of the year. But we're already seeing, you know, in anticipation of that, organizations, whether they be law firms or corporations, starting to change the way they think a little bit about how the new rules may impact current processes and procedures. So I think that's one area, and the impact of those rules still remains to be seen, because how they're going to be interpreted and how they're going to be applied, I think still there's room for interpretation there. And we're going to have to wait and see how that plays out. But that is a area of conversation as we move forward throughout the year. I also think we're going to continue to see a greater interest and expansion of use of predictive coding and technology-assisted review in general, as organizations are looking to better manage data volumes And then also looking at, you know, as we talked about with the rules, is how the courts are going to deal with sanctions with respect to failure to meet discovery obligations and things like legal holds, which was another area that, you know, was not as prominent as maybe some of the juicier aspects of e-discovery, but, you know, how legal holds are being implemented and best practices around that as well.
James, perhaps you could take us home with one final question regarding what conferences are you excited about coming up this summer and spring and summer? And what do you think some of the prominent themes coming out of those conferences that you're excited about? What should people keep an eye on?
I think the international cross-border issues are certainly continuing to be of interest. And as multinationals are dealing with bring your own device considerations and looking at either determining whether or not they're going to maintain or pull back devices to make sure that they have additional control, or if they say, okay, this is inevitable. We want our employees to be happy and healthy and to work harder. Therefore, we've got to support them in a way that's going to get business done as they see fit. How do we react to this? What are going to be the best practices? What can we do to support our employees while still doing what we need to do, both here in the States and abroad? So Sedona's Working Group 6 has a conference in Hong Kong this year. They're going to be focusing on kind of that Pacific Rim area, where we've seen a lot of dialogue surrounding Europe and those environs. And we're just now starting to get into these other markets where, because of the operations of the organizations, the practitioners are either running to catch up or we're starting to see what other people have been doing, and we can work off of best practices in that way.
We'll wrap it right there. Eric and James, thank you both so much for joining me on the ESI Report.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
So that wraps up another edition of the ESI Report. Thank you to everyone listening, and thanks to Kroll OnTrack for sponsoring the show. If you want to make sure you are in the eDiscovery know, make sure you check out the eDiscovery blog, theediscoveryblog.com. You'll find all the latest and greatest eDiscovery news. Until next time, I'm Michelle Lang, signing off for the ESI Report.
This was another edition of the ESI Report, sponsored by Kroll OnTrack. Be sure to follow Kroll OnTrack on Facebook and Twitter, or learn more about Kroll OnTrack software and services at www.krolontrack.com. Thanks for listening to the ESI Report, produced by the broadcast professionals at Legal Talk Network. Join Michelle Lang for her next podcast on the latest e-discovery trends. Subscribe to the RSS feed on LegalTalkNetwork.com or in iTunes. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, Legal Talk Network, its officers, directors, employees, agents, representatives, shareholders, and subsidiaries. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.